The scripture says, I pray that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's not talking about whether you're going to make it to heaven or not. That's talking about how you're going to live life in this earth while you're here. God wants us to have an abundant life while we're here. The scriptures can help us work out that life of abundance while we're here. And the scriptures can still be counted on today. That Greek word, all scripture is profitable, or all scripture is given by God and is inspired by God, actually means, I'm not going to try and pronounce the Greek word, but it actually means that God breathed on the scriptures. God actually poured out his breath upon the scriptures in the same way as when God made man, formed the dust of the ground, the Bible says, and kind of piled it all together and shaped man. And then the scripture says God breathed into that body that God made, breathed into him the breath of life. So God breathed part of himself into us and gave us life. That's pretty powerful. You'll remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and the disciples were looking around and they were wondering about Jesus and wondering, did he really come to life? Some seen him, some didn't. And then he came into a room, in through the walls, and the first thing the Bible talks about that meeting was that Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive Holy Spirit. Once again, the breath of God was being breathed into disciples, and the disciples were born again by the Spirit of God. God originally breathed into Adam, brought Adam to life. Jesus came. The Bible says that all have sinned, all have died in sin. Well, when we're born again, then the life of God needs to be brought back into us, and Jesus breathed his breath into disciples and brought them to life. That's what happens when you get born again. That's what happens when you ask Jesus to save you, when you ask Jesus to come into your life. There is actually a breath of God that comes in you and causes you to be born again, brought back to life. Remember, scripture says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins? Well, if we're dead and we're alive now, something must have happened. Life of God was breathed into us when we become born again. So we come back to life. And that's what the writer of the book of Timothy, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was talking about, that all scripture is inspired. In other words, scripture has life on it. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So if I read the words of Jesus, I am actually partaking in the life of God. Praise the Lord. Now I want us to... I want to read to you just a paragraph on this book that I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think, The Insanity of Unbelief. The Insanity of Unbelief. If you have ever had questions about, is there a God? How is the world made? And all this kind of stuff, that's a good book to read. The Insanity of Unbelief. Because he takes it from a scientific perspective and says it's just insane not to believe that there's a creator of the universe. Not to believe in God. And he goes through to verify the scriptures. It's important for us to verify. When I found out that some of the things that I was hearing before I got saved, that this information was coming from the Bible, I had to find out, what is the Bible? What's the Bible? Is it another book? I didn't realize that it was the Word of God. I didn't know what it was, so I had to do some study to find out, what is the Word of God? Can you count on the Word of God? Does the Word of God have integrity? Does the Bible have integrity? It was written centuries ago. Does it still have integrity today? It's important to do a study. And I challenge anybody who has an issue with, is the scriptures really the Word of God, to do a study on it. Because the credibility of the scriptures far surpasses any other written material in the world. Listen to what portion of a paragraph in this book. The reason the Old Testament stayed so accurate is because devoted scribes directed by God followed a regiment that ensured precise transmission of the text. The scribes were called Masoretes, and they had specific God guidelines in copying the biblical texts. God established these 10 guidelines to ensure that his word would be passed from one generation to the next. He's concerned about getting the word out from one generation to the next. This is the first guideline. The scribe could use only clean animal skins, both to write on and to bind the manuscripts. In other words, it had to be brand new, flawless. Number two, each column of writing could have no less than 48 and no more than 60 lines. Number three, the ink must be black and of special recipe. In other words, it wasn't just ordinary ink that they used to copy these scriptures. The scribe must verbalize each word aloud while they were writing it. In other words, they were copying the scriptures and they seen a word, Jehovah, well, they would have to stop and have to say that word aloud before they even copied it. Number five, nothing could be copied from memory. It had to be copied letter by letter. That's pretty strategic direction. The scribe must wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the word Jehovah every time they wrote it. You know how many times Jehovah is in the Old Testament? They would be copying it, have to come to that, and they'd have to go and wash. Number seven, there must be a review within 30 days of the copied material. And if as many as 3 pages required correction, any kind of correction at all, the entire document had to be redone. And this could be hundreds and hundreds of pages. The letters, words, and paragraphs had to be counted, and the document became invalid if 2 letters touched one another. The middle paragraph word and the letter must correspond to those of the original document. Number nine, the documents could be stored only in sacred places. Of course, this might be a temple or other places. Number 10, as no document containing God's word could be destroyed, they were stored or buried in a hiding place. These were usually kept in synagogues or sometimes in Jewish cemetery. By applying the same standards historians use for evaluation of historical documents, even the hardest skeptics would have to admit that both the Old Testament and the New are light years above the rest when it comes to accuracy and liability. I like the way Frederick Kenyon puts it. The Christian can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear of hesitation that he holds in it the true word of God, handed down without essential loss from generation to generation throughout the centuries. This can be said of no other ancient book. The Bible can be counted on. The Bible is a secure foundation to place your belief on. Now, I mention this because I believe we're living in a day today where we have to train our children how important the Bible is. That's one of the first things that I learned when I came into the kingdom of God, was how important the Word of God is. Absolutely important. The Word of God can do for us things that nobody else can. Sometimes we think that we have an understanding of how to get things done outside the Word, but really, whatever takes place usually is pretty shallow. What do I mean by that? Well, what happens if you're bound with some kind of problem? What happens if you're bound with an addiction problem? What happens if you're bound in relational problems, relational issues all the time, and you know it's from generations past that things are not working right in your life, and you feel like you're in bondage? What do you do? Maybe there's a spirit of infirmity upon you. The Bible talks about a spirit of infirmity. It talks about demonic forces. We have to kind of mention that today in this society because a lot of people think that they don't believe in demons. And I think, you know, all you have to do is take a trip to Africa or some of those other places where people deal with demonic forces all the time, and preachers will tell you, you never have to talk about whether there's demonic forces or not, because everybody sees them every day. Everybody is involved in them. Everybody knows that it's part of their life. And so they realize that demonic forces are real. Now, I want you to know, they may be over there in Africa, but do you think they don't know how to get over here in North America? There's all kinds of them. They're here, and they're oppressing people, and they're causing people to be bound up sometimes. What I mean by that, they're in bondage. Some people say, well, I don't know why I act this way. It seems like I'm going good and then something kind of overtakes me and I get in a fight with somebody or my spouse or whatever. I don't know what it is. Well, maybe there's a demonic influence on the outside just whispering in your ear all the time. Do you hear what she said to you? Do you hear how she is so demeaning to you? Do you hear how she's treating you? Don't you know that she should treat you better than that? Well, those can be demonic forces all the time trying to persuade you to go in a direction that God doesn't want you to go in. These have to be dealt with. And you might say, well, Pastor, the Bible talks about believers will lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. They'll cast out people. Well, that might be true. Let me talk about that in a minute. But I want to go back to the fact that how the Word can deal with every problem in your life. Look at Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him, that is to Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. So what did he do? He took the word and told the spirit to get. He cast out the spirit with a word. So to try to do something outside the word of God and dealing with an addiction or bondage and so forth is not sufficient. We must take the word of the Lord. Now notice, if we're not free, how do we get free? How do you and I get free? I'm sure if I pinpointed a whole bunch of people in this congregation this morning and said, how do you get free? We might have all kinds of answers. Go to get somebody to pray for me. Get somebody to lay hands on me and cast something out of me. Get somebody to do whatever. But yet, what does the scripture say? John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then John 17:17 says, separate, dedicate them by the word, by your word. Your word is truth. So obviously, in order to get free, we must have the word. We must go to the Bible, the scriptures, get the word of God into us in order to change us so that we'll become people that the enemy has no way to attack. Or no way, have no right of way into their lives. Jesus said, the God of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Why? Because he lived right. Now, if we, even as Christians, we want to dabble around in some things that will open the door to the enemy, he will oblige us. He'll come right in there. You see, it's not good enough, even if we were to be harassed tremendously by demonic forces, it's not good enough just to have them cast out. This morning, we were in the kitchen here, and I said to Diane, I said, man, there's fruit flies all over the place here. Wonder why? Well, let's say you have an infestation in your house of fruit flies, and they're just everywhere. Everywhere. And you get some kind of device, some kind of electronic device that fruit flies can't stand. And you put it in there. And first thing, all the fruit flies disappear. But if you haven't did some cleaning up of what gathered the fruit flies there in the first place, those fruit flies eventually are just going to get used to that noise and they're going to start coming back. We can have things cast out of us, but if we're not changed, if we don't do something to stop what opened the door to that influence in the first place, it's only going to come back again. And you know how you get rid of that? You take the word of God and allow it to wash over you over and over again. Allow it to cleanse you. Allow it to speak to you. Allow it to change you to become a person that does not open the door to the enemy. It's the same thing as if your house is infested with rats because there's a lot of garbage everywhere. You might call in an exterminator and he can get rid of all the rats. But if you don't do something to keep the house clean, they're going to come back. They're going to bring some of their buddies. No, the Word of God has to change us, and there's nothing that changes except the Word of God. That Word will change us so that we'll not want to live a life that will attract the rats. We want to get rid of them. We don't want them in our lives. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, the scripture says. And it will go deep down into our hearts. It can separate bone and marrow. In other words, what it's saying, it can speak to the intents of our hearts. What's that mean? Well, if I'm reading the word of God and I see the scripture gives me some instruction about unforgiveness. If I read the scriptures where it says, I really can't be forgiven if I don't forgive. If I have something against Mona, who could ever have anything against Mona? If I had unforgiveness against Mona, and I'm reading the scriptures and I see where the scripture says that if you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you. I read that. Well, the word of God pricks my heart then and says, I can't live like this. I have to forgive. The word of God will change me, bring me into a place where I have to forgive. I have to release. If I want the blessing of God upon my life, I have to forgive. I cannot hold that onto that. The word of God can do that to us. The word of God will help us. It will change us. Make reading the word of God a priority. I'm not saying that you have to sit down every day for an hour, a solid hour, and read the scripture, but we should have a devotional book at least where we read a scripture. And there might be a bit of a devotion there of what that scripture means and how to apply it to our lives. We should have something that we're taking in on a daily basis. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So as we read his words, it puts life into us in a greater measure than food puts life into our bodies. And none of us want to go a day without food. Some of us think we'll die if we don't go have food every day. But treat the scripture in such a way. Teach your children the importance of the word. Teach your children the importance of the word of God. It can be life unto them. It can be life to them, and for them to not participate in the word of God on a daily basis can mean they'll end up making choices in life that they will regret all their lives. The word of God can save us from making wrong choices. The word of God can deliver us. Now, I'm convinced of that. When I got saved back in 1980, I was not a nice person at all. I'm not going to go into what I was like, but thank God I've been changed from that particular time. But I know one thing. I didn't get anything cast out of me necessarily, or people who did anything to me in order to change me. But I took the word of God. I got a hunger for the word of God, and the word of God began to change me. The word of God began to set me free of a lot of junk. And there were specific times that God dealt with some things in my life that I was able to get rid of because the word was changing me. Nothing else did, but the word did, and it'll do it for you too. It'll do it for your children. Do your children know how powerful the Word of God is? Is it the most important book in your life? Have you expressed to your children that Word is the most important thing that they could ever possibly read and meditate on? We have a responsibility to train our children up in the way that they should go. Bring them up in the instruction and admonition of the Lord, so that they might know all the good things of God. I tell you one thing, folks, we have to realize it. If we choose to leave that up for chance, the enemy will be more than happy to fill in, to bring to us, our children, things that they were never meant to get involved in. I can't talk to the world about this, but I can talk to our church here, and I can say, will you make a commitment in your heart to make the Bible the most important piece of material that your children could ever read or ever obey? Stand with me, please. You know, I love to teach and I love to preach about things very, very positive. But I do believe that we have to look at things very seriously once in a while. We have to stop and take an account of how we're living. Scripture says, test yourselves and see if you are in the faith. Are you believing God for things to take place in your life that you can't do? I hope you are. I hope you're in that place where there are some things that you want in life that you know you can't succeed in without God's help. You know that you cannot possibly make it happen in your life, but you believe there's a God who can. Are you in that place today? Are you, or have you just kind of thrown your hands up and say, well, whatever comes my way will come my way. Whatever circumstance happens in my life, that's the choice I'll take. No, don't do that. You have not been designed for that. You have been designed with a perfect manual to run your life by. It's called the Word of God. There's a piece of equipment that you might buy, and if you've never even seen it before, you don't know what it's supposed to do, and you were to set it up, you wouldn't dare try to set it up without reading the manual. You'd go through it and say, how does this work? How is this supposed to work? What's supposed to be the result of this? Well, God gave us the manual of life. And unfortunately, most of us haven't read it. As I said last week, we go into marriage without knowing hardly anything about it. We try to raise kids without really having good examples to follow. We need to go to the perfect example, the Word of God. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the importance of the Word, Lord. I thank you for the power that's in the Word. Lord, I thank you that you impress us never to get away from the Word, never to go beyond the Word, to get our life from the Word. Thank you, Father, that by faith we receive the Word. You said that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Lord, we honor your word in that. We take it and embrace it and declare that we are a part of the kingdom of God. Now, Father, I pray that we'd have revelation from reading your word to know how to get the absolute best out of life. For we think of Jesus that said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I thank you for abundant life that's in the Word, in Jesus' name. Let's allow the team to lead us in the song and just take time to worship him before we go and see if the Holy Spirit has anything else that he wants to share here this morning.
Stay and rest okay.
Word of God, speak to us. Did we ever play that song before?
A long time ago.
I find that's interesting. Speaking about the Word of God, I didn't know that they were going to play that this morning. But I just want to say this. In hearing that song, I feel God is speaking to some people this morning very clearly that you need to get into the Word like you never have before. You might have thought that it was important and someday you're going to do it. But I really believe that God is challenging us today to take His Word somewhat seriously. There are wonderful devotion books that you can get to take and read a scripture every day. It can take you as little as 5 minutes and more time if you want it. But I encourage you to get into the Word. It will absolutely change your life. When we hear things spoken about and God is going to remind you in the days ahead of some of the things that you heard today, of even the song that we just sung. And that, don't pass that off as just a thought. That's God speaking to you. That's God calling you. That's God tugging you, saying, I want you to pay attention to my Word. I've got something for you in my Word. There's areas in your life that are dull I want to bring to life. And I'll do it through your Word. Now, Father, I thank you, God, for your mercy, and I thank you for your love. I thank you for the anointing of Jesus. I thank you, God, that your Word is so powerful. And God, as we go from this place, Lord, I thank you that you will remind us to read your Word. You'll remind us to listen to see what you are saying to us. Good Lord, I'm reminded of Jesus' words when he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So, Lord, we're expected to hear what you are saying through your Word and how you speak to us in our innermost being. So, Lord, I speak over this congregation and I declare the blessing of the Lord over each and every one. I declare, Father, that they are prosperous people. They prosper and they're in good health even as their soul prospers in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit moves upon these people to guide them in the path that you have for them, for you know exactly what will bring them the most joy. And Lord, even as you release joy upon them, you will give them a revelation that this comes from you. The blessing of God comes from you. And I thank you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Say this with me, Father, I thank you for the blessings that come to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive them now. I receive the benefits of heaven, that you forgive all my sins and heal all my diseases, that you crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful day.